Hey, it's going. It's working. Now get this one going. All right. Got the recorder is going. Now let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Did you notice what this verse says? For we, that's us, must all, that's every one of us, appear. Where? Before the judgment seat of Christ. You heard of that before? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and that's all there is to it. You get buried out in the cemetery and you don't have to worry about anything. No. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment. You see, if this life were all, people would sure live it differently, wouldn't they? Yes. But this life is not all. This life that we're living now, according to the Word of God, is nothing more than a preparatory stage for eternity. We're just getting started. We started at our birth, and that's just the beginning of it. I've got 85 years under my belt already, and that seems like a lot, but whenever I compare that with the millennial kingdom of Christ, which is coming up here pretty soon, that's 1,000 years. That's 1,000 years. I'm just getting started. And this life is a preparatory stage for that. And the life that we're living now, a lot of people don't understand this, but a lot of Christians don't understand it. That we are preparing ourselves for eternity. We're preparing ourselves for eternity. And after death comes the judgment. Listen to this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For what purpose now? He tells us that everyone, you know any exceptions to that? Everyone may receive. Well, wait a minute. This is a different type of judgment, isn't it? I spent 25 years in the courts down here in San Diego. And the people came up there, all they received was punishment for their crimes, for the most part, you know, the criminals. We appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive. We're going to receive something. Receive the things done in the body. That's now, this time in which we're living. According to that, he hath done. I'm not going to be judged by what you did or what anybody else did. I'm going to be judged according to myself, not anyone else, not even my wife. We're individuals before the judgment seat of Christ. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, is he talking about salvation here? Certainly not. We're not going to be saved according to whether we do good or bad. By the way, Dr. A.B. Simpson once said, the grace of God is free to the vilest sinners. But the thrones of the millennial age are won by sacrifice, service, and victorious achievement.
That's right.
I like that. Salvation is free, but the rewards, you're going to have to work for them. Paul also wrote to the Christians in this church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, in which he had told them previously to this, we're in 2 Corinthians here, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So this life is not all. There's coming a time of judgment when all of our works shall be tried before the Lord. We're going to talk about that tonight. Judgment seat rewards. He wrote to the Christians in Colossae. It's recorded in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Here's what he said. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever, that means anything and everything. Whatsoever you do, whether you do it for yourself or do it for someone else or whatever, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Put your heart into it. Now, we all do things that we don't want to do. There are times when necessity presses upon us and we find ourselves doing things when we had rather be doing something else, right?
Right.
Our time is occupied. Sometimes we just can't do what we want to do all the time because necessity makes us mow the lawn. And a lot of things like that, you know. You ladies know what I'm talking about, necessity. You got to get up, you got to make the bed, you got to cook the meals, you got to wash the dishes, you got to sweep the floor, you got to wash dirty clothes, things like this. Doesn't necessarily mean that you like to do these things, but it's necessary. And he says, and I could stop here and say amen and go home, do it heartily. You know, that heartily, it kind of makes it sound like you're supposed to enjoy it. Do it heartily. But that's not all. As to the Lord. As to the Lord. Now, most of us, when we do things, we do it for someone else. We do it for, think about the things that you do. You're working on a job, you're doing something for someone else. But when you do it unto the Lord, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There's no respect of persons with God. No respect of persons. Jesus says in John chapter 22 verse 12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That's judgment according to works, isn't it? Rewards for the work that we do. Paul said again, I'm going to give you lots of scriptures tonight because we got to have the word of God behind this. I don't want you to take what I say. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Think of the building. You've got the foundation here. All right, the foundation is laid. No other man can lay any other foundation. It's already there. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So you got the foundation here. It's already laid. Nobody can lay another one. Jesus Christ is the foundation, but you build on this. What's fire going to do to gold, silver, precious stones? Nothing except refine it, make it better. What will fire do to wood, hay, stubble? It'd be consumed, won't it? Be burned up. So there'll be nothing left but ashes at the judgment seat of Christ. If a man's work consists of wood, hay, and stubble that he's built on the foundation. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. That's after the fire tries every man's work of what sort it is. And the wood, hay, and stubble is burned up. The gold, silver, and precious stones will remain, and you'll be rewarded according to what remains after the fire has tried the work. Receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So he walks away empty-handed at the judgment seat of Christ. What's going to happen to him? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He'll be saved. He won't be lost, because we're talking about rewards here and not salvation, aren't we? Now, rewards. This is interesting. When you start reading in the New Testament, you'll find rewards are spoken of 38 times throughout the Scriptures. 38 times Jesus is emphasizing rewards, rewards, rewards. It's the joy and wonder of God's grace that salvation comes to us through simple faith in the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast." There are people in the world today, bless their hearts, poor sinners who are working for their salvation. They believe that their salvation is going to be according to their works. But their works are so far from saving them that they actually have to be repented of, according to the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. "But the free gift of God, unfettered by any obligation on the part of the giver, and completely severed from our merits," we don't deserve anything, "is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is the gift of God, not a reward. It's a gift. Now, God not only puts away our sin by not imputing it to us, but he actually took it upon himself. The Bible says that he was made to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So it's the free gift of God. He fulfilled every requirement of a just and holy God. And so in God's sight, we are in Christ. And being in Christ, we are saved. We're pardoned. We're forgiven. We've been born again. We're justified. We're sanctified. We're righteous. We're holy. And all other good things that you can think of in Christ. All of it through him. Unmerited favor of God. Man has sinned. Christ has suffered. God made himself sin. And God has given to us, 1 John 5:11, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, with that divine truth firmly established in our hearts and minds, we see a new horizon now that has opened up to us. Just as eternal life is the consequence of our faith, rewards are the consequence of our works after we're saved. Many times in the Bible does he refer to the saved as like a racer running a race, or an athlete wrestling, or a warrior fighting, or a farmer sowing, or a builder building, things like this. And all of this strenuous activity rests on the revealed fact that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. God rewards our good works, every one of them. And it'll be determined at the judgment seat of Christ, the place that we have in his kingdom for 1,000 years, and no telling what else. Eternal life is gratuitous, but the rewards are earned. But what is it that God will reward? Does he tell us in the book? I think he does. He rewards God-likeness, or God-like character. Let's listen to Jesus in Luke 6:35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he, that is God, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to those who are unthankful and to those who are evil. And he wants us to love our enemies, do good to those that hate us, despise us, lend. You loan somebody something, don't expect to get it back. That's what he's saying. Did you ever do that? Huh? Did you ever loan somebody something and never get it back? Well, all right. You'll get your reward for it. You may not get it back, but you'll get your reward for it. That's what he said, lend, hoping for nothing again. Did you know that you'll even get rewarded for praying? Matthew 6:6, this is what Jesus says again. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, secret place, and when thou hast shut thy door, privacy. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's rewards for praying in secret. Jesus, when he was talking about prayer, talked about the Pharisees. They loved to stand out on the street corners and pray real loud prayers so everybody would look at them and say, "My, isn't he religious?" Verily, he has his reward. Yeah. Even the minimum of gifts is rewarded. Again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, he said, "He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. I don't know, having the slightest idea what a prophet's reward is, but one way to find out, one way to get it is to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, and you'll get a prophet's reward. "And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." And this one I can understand a little bit better. "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only, in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Amen. A reward for giving a little one a drink of cold water. That seems to go along with what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, probably the greatest truth about rewards is that God rewards according to the why that is behind the service. This has to do with attitude and motive. Jesus again in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Don't do it to be seen of men. Don't do it so that people will look at you and brag on you and say, "My, isn't he a wonderful person?" If he's doing that to get the approval of men and the praise of men, boy, I'll tell you, that's like wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat. He shall not receive a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts." God looks at the heart. He says, "And then shall every man have praise of God." God gives unmerited, undeserved salvation, but he does not give unmerited praise. You've got to earn it. Now, I hope that this next one will not apply to any of us too much, But there are many countries today, you read about it, you hear about it, where Christians are being persecuted for their faith. All over the place. Parents kill their own children for turning from a certain faith to Christianity. It's terrible, the persecution that goes on today. But you know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6? He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Now, we don't like for people to hate us, do we? We like for people to be friendly toward us and to love us and to respect us. But Jesus said that when you're hated by men, he said you are blessed. And when they shall separate you from their company, when they won't have anything to do with you, when you get fired from your job because you're a Christian, when they separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He said, "Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven." Think of that. Your reward will be great in heaven. "For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." You know, suffering generally shows purity of motive. If you believe in Christ, you believe your Bible so strongly that you're willing to be persecuted for it, that's pretty good. Because not too many people will suffer and die for a lie if they know it's not true. The Lord counterbalances the fear of man not only by the more tremendous fear of God, but also by the magnitude of his rewards. The more you suffer, the greater your reward is going to be. And every reward will be kind of like a prize. We can't even conceive in our minds today what rewards are going to be. We read in there about some crowns that we'll get for certain things. And maybe our position at the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be determined by our works. And certainly our position in the kingdom of Christ, when we shall rule and reign with him as kings and priests for 1,000 years, it's understandable that that would be based upon our works, and that would be given to us as a form of a reward. But think of this. Hebrews 11:26 talks about Moses. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt." Moses had been raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh was the ruler, the king, the dictator of the whole land of Egypt. And Moses was right there as his grandson, because he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And perhaps he was even in line to become the next ruler of Egypt. Who knows? But Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And he did some suffering. His life was not a bed of roses. But the promise of reward supplies a legitimate reason or motive for us to serve the Lord. Rewards are the tangible expression of the approval of God. And we should not deny God the pleasure of expressing his approval upon us. No one emphasized rewards more than Jesus himself. I want to show you some more scriptures here of what the New Testament writers said about this. Each one of them that wrote in the New Testament referred to Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Peter believed in that. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. John, in 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. John talked about rewards. I was looking for this and I found out that years and years ago, back before Christ came, there were a group of the Jews who were called Sadducees. They had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The group of Sadducees were started by a man by the name of Sado, S-A-D-O-E. And he started his career of unbelief by denying the doctrine of reward. That's interesting, isn't it? Sadducees, they didn't believe in angels or miracles or anything like that. They didn't believe in a lot of things. But Jesus, it said of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and we use this morning in our message, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. When he was on that cross, in the midst of all of his suffering and the agony, the physical pain that he was enduring, he endured that because joy was set before him. That was a reward for his suffering, don't you see? He got a great reward for his suffering. You think about it. Every seed that we drop into the soil, every thought, every word, every action will one day spring up in harvest. Very sobering thought. But we need to keep that in mind, that the Lord is going to reward every work that we do. And everything that we do, we should do it unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord we shall receive a great reward for what we do. And now that should spur us on to be better saints. And should give us an attitude of servitude to the Lord. For whatever we do it unto the Lord and not unto men. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for listening tonight. Hope we said something that help you out in your life and be an encouragement to you. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for the service this morning, for the people that were here, for the reception of the word that went into the hearts of everyone that listened. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing us with spiritual blessings during this life. What a joy it is to serve you. You make it worthwhile every day. And to think that in the future, when we come face to face with you at the judgment seat of Christ, that we shall receive a reward for every good thing that we've done. And it's not going to be one of these balancing out deals where the good works outweigh the bad works and we're judged by the difference. Because all of the bad works are going to be gone. They're forgotten. But all of the good works will not be canceled out by any bad that we do. But all the good that we do, you're making an account of it, keeping track of it for us. And one day we shall face our record on high. And when we do, we pray that it will be a time of rejoicing, a time of thanksgiving. What a wonderful God you are to save us by your grace, to give us the Holy Spirit who works in us to do the things that you would have us to do, and then we get the reward for it. You are indeed a gracious God. We thank you for your grace. Bless this people. Bless our church and lead, guide, and direct our individual lives. To your name's honor and glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.